Family Life Services now at 734-434-3088. That's 734-434-3088.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
With the New York Times in one hand and the Catechism of the Catholic Church in the other, Al Cresta is ready for conversations of consequence.
Democrats have literally fled the state.
Head out on the highway.
The Egyptian president, Hosni Mubarak, has finally stepped down.
Walk like an Egyptian.
Planned Parenthood is the largest abortion provider in America. Planned Parenthood is the largest recipient of federal funding under Title X.
I'm a fool to do your dirty work.
Broadcasting from the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and taking a closer Catholic look at current events, issues, and ideas. This is Cresta in the Afternoon.
Great question. That is a really interesting question.
You asked another interesting question.
You just asked the $64,000 question.
Beautiful.
Okay, let's do it.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining me. We've got another hour to talk about the things that matter most. I'm Al Cresta, and we're here in the legendary Napa Valley at the first annual gathering of the Napa Institute. And we're going to have great pleasure today talking with Tim Bush, the founder of the Napa Institute. His vision for the Institute is to provide solid Catholic theological content to help us defend the faith and work more effectively in the mission fields of our communities to preserve our Christian nation. And an essential element of our faith is liturgy, so liturgy also figures prominently at the conference here. We'll tell you more about that, too, as we go on. But Tim Bush is joining me in this hour. We're also going to be joined by Dr. Tim Gray. One of the themes of this conference is immigration. There's worship, immigration, secular humanism, some basic apologetics on the existence of God. But in the area of immigration, Tim Gray will spend time taking a look at the Old Testament, the New Testament understanding of hospitality, St. Augustine's understanding of the city of God as the soul of the city of man, and St. Thomas Aquinas' understanding of natural law. So this hour, I'll be describing what we're doing here at the Napa Institute for a few minutes. Then we go to Tim Bush, the founder of this great project, and then Dr. Tim Gray on, well, forgive us our trespasses, looking at the Lord's Prayer and understanding the immigration debate. All that's coming up in this hour of Cresta in the Afternoon. But first, let's hit the headline.
Thank you, Al. Good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Friday, July 29th. The saint of the day is St. Martha. And today's news is brought to you by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at AveMariaMutualFunds.com. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says Democrats will not accept a short-term extension of the debt ceiling. In a Capitol News conference, a Nevada Democrat criticized maneuvering in the Republican-led House.
We cannot be in this battle all the time. Right now, the extremists have locked down this Congress. We're doing nothing. The extremists have locked down the White House. They're not able to do their work.
House GOP leaders are scrambling to revise legislation to raise the debt ceiling and cut spending. That would include a two-step boost in the debt limit, once immediately and another one in several months. Democrats insist on extending the debt ceiling in one step through 2012 to alleviate economic uncertainty. A default crisis looms without a boost in the more than $14 trillion debt ceiling by Tuesday. An AWOL soldier arrested near Fort Hood for an alleged terrorist plot faces another criminal charge. Nasser Abdo made a scene in court today in Waco, Texas, by refusing to stand for the judge. The Killeen Daily Herald reports that he was charged with possession of an unregistered firearm. New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg is giving details about plans for the ceremony marking this year's 10th anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. On his radio show today, Bloomberg said President Obama and former President George W. Bush would both participate. It'll be the first time a president has participated in the ceremony. A judge saying that former President Richard Nixon's secret Watergate testimony should be released. The federal court judge in Washington, D.C. cites the historic significance of Nixon's grand jury testimony in the ruling. The testimony in question was given in June of 1975. Nixon resigned from office in 1974 during the scandal that centered on a break-in at the Democratic National Committee headquarters. The trial of polygamous sect leader Warren Jeffs is continuing in Texas. Jeffs invoked his rights to represent himself yesterday, and Judge Barbara Walter agreed, but warned him of the risk. Jeffs is facing two child sex assault charges in connection with spiritual marriages. Tropical Storm Don is expected to bring rain to the drought-stricken Texas area. Don is heading towards South Texas and will bring rain to that part of the state. A Texas Forest Service spokesman says the rain won't be enough to make a dent in the drought. In January, a federal law was passed to require all auto manufacturers of hybrid and electric cars to have an intentional artificial noise coming from their cars to alert pedestrians. Dave McCready, a noise vibration supervisor with Ford Motor Company, says whether it's a throaty rumble, futuristic ringing, or something soft and soothing, EV customers have distinct ideas of how their car should sound.
They probably want to be distancing themselves image-wise from the, quote, old technology of a gasoline engine. So that's probably the last thing that they want this car to sound like.
And we'll have everything ready by 2016. Fascinating fact of the day, anteaters prefer termites to ants. Steve Clark, Ave Maria Radio News.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta, and for the next few days, we'll be sharing with you some of our conversations at the first annual gathering of the Napa Institute here in the legendary Napa Valley. We're here at the Meritage Resort and Spa in Napa, California, and hosting the event is Tim Bush. Tim is the chairman of the Napa Institute, and he'll be joining us in a little while here to tell you about his vision of the Napa Institute. And I want to share a few things about this as well. I'll tell you who else is coming here this week and the great work that's going on. Tim's vision for the Napa Institute was to provide solid Catholic theological content to help us defend the faith and work more effectively in the mission fields of our own communities and help preserve the Christian elements of this nation. And as Archbishop Chaput has said, we need to prepare for the next America. That's a phrase that keeps coming up. We'll talk about it with Tim a little bit later. But through this week, Daily Mass is being celebrated a few times a day here at the Meritage Resort and Spa. Tim has established Our Lady of Grace Chapel, where we're able to have adoration. We're also enjoying, of course, very robust liturgies, morning prayer, vespers, benediction, all available at various times throughout the conference. Let me tell you who is here as some of our speakers. Father Robert Spitzer is with us. He is one of the outstanding voices in the fields of apologetics, philosophy, and theology, and of course the world of higher education. He's president of the Magis Institute, an organization that he founded to combat the growing secularism and intellectual atheism that permeates modern society. He's a member of the Napa Institute Steering Committee and president of the Spitzer Center for Ethical Leadership. He's the author of various books, including most recently, we've talked about this a few times, his New Proofs for the Existence of God, Contributions of Contemporary Physics. And then he has a wonderful book called Healing the Culture, A Common Sense Philosophy of Happiness, Freedom, and Life Issues. And we're hoping to talk with Father Spitzer about that this week as well. The first day of the conference is organized around the theme of Caritas in Veritate, Charity in Truth. And our focus has been immigration. Archbishop Gomez focusing on immigrants and the history of Catholic evangelization in the United States. Tim Gray, who you'll hear shortly, on Forgive Us Our Trespasses, A Catholic Vision of Immigration. And then also joined by His Eminence Roger Cardinal Mahoney on the question of immigration. Most Reverend Alexander Brunette, Archbishop Emeritus of Seattle, speaking on secular humanism and technology, living charity and truth, living caritas in veritate in an age of secular humanism. So all of that just going on the first day of the conference. The second day of the conference is going to be focusing on why faith makes sense. And George Weigel will be addressing us on Europe, America, and politics without God. Father Spitzer on the astrophysical response to atheism. We're also spending time with Wall Street Journal columnist William McGurn. His topic, The Gospel According to Saint Media. And then later this week, we'll be spending time on the cost of discipleship, where we take a look at what's been described as, quote, religionless spirituality. You know what I'm talking about. We're talking about that whole mindset, which is popularized in many ways by Oprah Winfrey, that I'm spiritual but not religious. And it goes, of course, beyond Oprah, but she's probably the voice, most popular voice associated with that viewpoint. How do we respond to that? Because as Catholics, we believe, of course, in we believe that Christ established the church, that it's institutional, that it's hierarchical, that in fact it's the successors to the apostles are males. This is something that really grates against the sensibilities of many people in modern society. So we'll be talking about how to faithfully present the teaching of the church in a climate of, quote, religionless spirituality. And then Mother Assumpta Long will be with us, Religious Life and Martyrdom, The Flame of Love and the Folly of the Cross. So all of that's coming up through this week, and much more as well. But I wanted to give you some sense of what's going on here in Napa Valley this week, and equipping Catholics in the next America. That's the way that the steering committee at the Napa Institute envisions themselves. I was surprised myself that they picked up the theme of immigration this year. Not because I think it's unimportant. I think it's a very important topic, but I personally would have thought they would have picked up on one of the life issues. But immigration it's a thoroughly Catholic topic. It goes right back to the Old Testament, because the Israelites themselves were immigrants and refugees, entering the Promised Land as immigrants. I always like to think what the newspapers of the Canaanites would have read as they began noticing all these Israelites popping up around them. St. Augustine dealt with the question of migration. St. Thomas Aquinas did. And it's been on the mind of Pius XII, John the 23rd, John Paul II, and Benedict the 16th. John Paul II, it's easy to understand why immigration would have been close to his heart. He hailed from Poland, a nation that was perpetually concerned about her borders. And so he would write, for instance, when he published The Church in America, he wrote, "The Church in America must be a vigilant advocate, defending against any unjust restriction on the natural right of individual persons to move freely within their own nation and from one nation to another. Attention must be called to the rights of migrants and their families, and to respect for their human dignity, even in cases of non-legal immigration. Migrants should be met with a hospitable and welcoming attitude which can encourage them to become part of the church's life." John Paul II sounds like he's familiar with the civil law of ancient Israel, which had a very different understanding of borders than we have today. Under the civil law of ancient Israel, foreigners or sojourners had certain rights, but also certain limitations when they were in Israel. Their civil rights were provided for. The law of Moses provided for these the rights of aliens. But they also came under the same legal processes and penalties. In other words, if you're going to benefit from, if you're a sojourner, an alien, in ancient Israel, and you want to benefit from the rights instituted by God in ancient Israel, then you also had to be governed by the same legal processes and penalties. In ancient Israel, the immigrants were to be treated politely. They were to be loved and treated generously. If they were poor, you were to share the harvest with them. They could receive sanctuary in times of trouble. A foreigner could not take part in tribal deliberations. In other words, there were certain civil procedures they could not be a part of. They couldn't take place in tribal deliberations. They could not become a king. The prophet Ezekiel looked forward to the Messianic Age. And one of the signs of the Messianic Age for Ezekiel was a time when the foreigner would share all the blessings of the land with God's own people. So Ezekiel had in mind what, of course, we see eventually under the New Covenant, that that wall of separation between Jew and Gentile is broken down. But that was part of Ezekiel's vision of the Messianic Kingdom. He envisioned a coming kingdom without borders. And the church is today, the church is that emerging, visible society in sacramental form. I mean, I know the Puritans like to think of America that way, but for a Catholic, it's not the nation that is the emerging sacramental society. It's the church. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church gives us, as citizens of America, and clearly the lead nation of the world, the Catechism gives us reason to remember that to whom much is given, much will be demanded. And that enforcement of our laws is a matter of the common good. Submission to authority, co-responsibility for the common good, make it morally obligatory to pay taxes, to exercise the right to vote, defend one's country. The more prosperous nations are obliged, the Catechism says, to the extent that they are able, to welcome the foreigner in search of the security and the means of livelihood which he cannot find in his own country of origin. Public authorities, the Catechism writes, should see to it that the natural right is respected that places a guest under the protection of those who receive him. This is the vision of the church. Regardless of what happens with the state, this is the vision of the church. The church is to be seen as a place of welcome and a place of hospitality, a place which transcends nationalistic boundaries and borders. We can be faithful citizens of the kingdom and faithful citizens of the United States, but we have to always have our priorities straight. We're disciples of Christ first. Well, lots coming up in this hour. Tim Bush joins me to talk about the work of the Napa Institute, and then Tim Gray from the Augusta Institute will talk with us about Old Testament, New Testament, and the tradition of the church, looking at the Lord's Prayer on the issue of immigration. I'm Al Cresta. Stay with us.
Ave Maria School of Law is a private law school faithful to the Catholic intellectual tradition, located in Naples, Florida. Ave Maria gives you the opportunity to integrate faith and reason and seeks to educate the whole person by exploring the Catholic intellectual tradition and natural law. Our graduates are working in the nation's top law firms and judicial clerkships. Ave Maria School of Law provides financial scholarships. More information is available at avemarialaw.edu.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by a gift from our day sponsor to celebrate the 16th birthday of Gina Alla, who's a terrific young lady. We're so proud of you. With love, Mom, Dad, and Samantha.
You can have your own day on Ave Maria Radio. Call toll-free 1-877-288-1077 and say, I want to be a day sponsor.
Do you feel called to study theology or pastoral ministry at Sacred Heart Major Seminary, but you're concerned about the drive time or day classes don't fit your personal schedule? Here is a convenient solution. This fall, Sacred Heart is offering three courses,
Introduction to Theology, to Sacred Scripture, and to Spirituality at 5 easy-to-reach parishes throughout the Archdiocese of Detroit. The classes are held in the evening for those with busy daytime commitments. These courses could be the starting point for inspiring your faith life or beginning a program of study at Sacred Heart. Learn more at Sacred Heart Major Seminary's website, shms.edu. You can apply online too, making the admissions process even easier. Or call 313-883-8520 to speak with an admissions counsellor. Hurry though, the application deadline for new students is August 15th. Classes start September 6th. That's shms.edu.
Sienna, the Catholic mobile phone company, is more than just a cell phone service. Sienna is pro-life and pro-family. And contrary to other phone companies, we actively work for a culture of life in America. With Sienna, 5% of your voice plan goes to your favorite Catholic or pro-life charity, to date over $1 million. Sienna uses the same nationwide digital network as the big guys without contracts or termination fees. Flexible calling plans allow you to support a pro-life company and the culture of life with every call you make on your mobile phone. There's a wide selection of phones and calling plans with text messaging available as well. Also, you pay no fees to change your plan, and you get unlimited mobile-to-mobile calling with other Sienna customers on most plans. With Sienna, you can use your voice for the voiceless. Don't waste your cell phone service. Learn more at 877-4-SIENNA or on the web at prolifecatholic.com.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria Radio.
Internationally known apologist Raymond D'Souza addresses dechristianization and Catholic action on our next program.
Our Lady's Immaculate Heart will triumph. She will triumph either with us or against us, not without. There's no fence sitting, no in between. Remember St. Joan of Arc? Her motto, Les soldats combattront, mais Dieu donnera la victoire. Soldiers will fight, but God grants the victory. We don't have to win, we have to fight. And the victory is given by Him.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. From the 2011 Call to Holiness Conference, Raymond D'Souza uses his own experiences to illustrate the dechristianization of the world's cultures and focuses on what we as Catholic Christians need to do about it. It's Putting On the Mind of Christ this Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Good day, I'm Al Cresta. In Ephesians chapter 4, St. Paul says that Christ has given us gifted men, pastors, evangelists, prophets, pastors, and teachers, shepherds, and teachers, to do the work, to equip the saints on earth to do the work of ministry. Well, joining me right now is Tim Bush. He's founder of the Napa Institute. He did so to create an annual gathering of our shepherds and gifted thinkers and teachers to equip all participants here to defend and advance our Catholic faith in the next America. Tim is founder of the Bush Firm, an expert estate and tax planning attorney and CPA with over 30 years' experience. He has long-term practice focusing on advising high-net-worth families and their business on multi-generational wealth transfers. He and his wife, Steph, are heavily involved in Catholic organizations and charities, including co-founding J. Sarah Catholic School and St. Anne's School in Orange County. He serves on various boards and most recently chairman of the newly formed Napa Institute. Tim, meeting you face to face, it's great. Thank you.
Thank you, Al. Good to be here. Thank you for coming.
Well, it's my great pleasure. Equipping the saints to do the work of ministry, that really is what you're doing here.
It is. We're all called to holiness, and to be called to holiness, we must have formation. And what this conference is about is to annually bring together Catholic lay faithful, priests, religious, and deacons to study the faith, to learn more about it so that they can live the faith.
You have referred to Archbishop Chaput's essay in First Things, Next America.
Yes.
And what is meant by the Next America?
Well, Archbishop Chaput is our ecclesiastical advisor. And he, like I, feel we're moving very quickly into a secular society. We're moving from a society that was founded on Judeo-Christian principles to what I call the least common denominator, which is atheism. And in doing that, we're going to be pushed in our business world and our professional world away from our faith. We all feel it right now. It's going on. We're called to say, don't use your faith, don't use your principles and the teachings of your faith in your business, because if you do, you're going to offend somebody, you're going to get sued for discrimination, or what have you.
Yeah, it's like spit. Keep it private. It's good to have a little bit of it, but keep it private.
And this institute in my life is about testifying completely opposite. Bring the business into the market, or the faith into the marketplace, along with business. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think it's so truthful that when people see it, they're going to say, what are we thinking? Of course we've got to bring the faith back into the marketplace, yeah, and they're going to go forward with it. But we've got to give them courage, and we've got to give them testimony, and we've got to give them examples of people doing it, real people that are doing it and successfully executing.
Yeah. Not everybody has that sense of robust discipleship, that idea that the key is to be faithful to Christ in all areas of life, public, private, all spheres of life can be developed in a kingdom direction. How did you develop that?
Well,
because you're unusual.
Well, I don't know if I'm unusual, but I think it comes for me. I've been in Legatus for 21 years, and Tom Monahan has really been a mentor. Watching him, I have a different style than he does, and I'm in a different situation than he is. But going to Legatus meetings, sometimes three or four a month, has totally changed my life. I've always been a believer. I've always been a faithful Catholic. But it's beyond that. It's beyond going to Mass on Sunday. It's taking your faith and living it every day and trying to spread the gospel among your peers, your employees. That's what Legatus was created for.
Yeah, that's right.
And I've been a beneficiary of that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something I've developed over time.
Yes, like everything in life, you got to continue to study, live, and spread the faith. That's the mission of the Legatus, and prayer and adoration. God speaks to those who are close to Him, yeah, and He inspires those who are close to Him. I want to be closer. I'm not perfect. I just want to keep working toward perfection, toward holiness.
You've brought together a remarkable assembly of men and women to put on this first annual gathering of the Napa Institute. Give us an idea of who's here.
Well, I first wanted to start with the shepherds of the church, our prelates. They're appointed by the Holy Father to be the teachers of the faith. And we need to engage them. And so they're here today. We have six of them for the weekend. I wanted to go to people who are leaders in the academic and theological world. So I have George Weigel, one of the most prolific writers in our faith. Tim Gray, incredible young biblical scholar from the Augustine Institute. Mother Assumpta, the Mother Teresa of vocations, yeah, 114 vocations in 13 years. That is grace of God. That's not Mother Assumpta. That's grace of God. And she is anointed. We have Mother Regina Marie, who walked in with 18 full-habited Carmelites and sang to 70 who arrived early for dinner. And there were tears in my eyes, in my wife's eyes, and in many others. It's just grace. It's joy. It's peace. And I wanted to have everybody see these religious sisters and how they're back.
Yeah.
They're back, Al. They're back from the 50s. They're coming back, and we're going to come in stronger.
I agree with you. Mother Sumpta is a friend of ours, lives just down the street from us, and so we've watched them grow over the last 15 years. Worship is also central to the work here,
yes,
at Knapp Institute, which, again, is, there are lots of conferences, teaching conferences, good places, but you not only wanted good, strong teaching, you wanted to make sure that you were modeling beautiful worship.
Well, that's key to our faith. I mean, people say, well, what's the difference between Catholicism and Christianity? And one of the biggest differences is our liturgical form of worship. And it's the Mass. Cardinal Wuerl just wrote a book about the Mass, and he said it's what Catholics do. At the Napa Institute, we will have our main liturgies every day, but since we have so many priests, bishops, and a cardinal, we will be having 4 to 5 masses celebrated in the Our Lady of Grapes Chapel that's here at the Meritage Resort. It's always available. It's a Catholic chapel approved by the Bishop of Santa Rosa. And so we're going to have liturgies, and we're going to have the extraordinary rite daily. So there'll be an opportunity to take a step back into time and see where our faith came from through the extraordinary rite liturgy.
Yeah. Maintain that continuity with the tradition.
Yeah. Yeah. We never got rid of it. We just stopped using it. And the Holy Father, in his edict, I think it was 07, you know, essentially said, it's an acceptable rite as long as you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And we have Norbertine priests here that know what they're doing when it comes to the extraordinary rite.
We're here at the Meritage Resort, and came in last night on my way to my room. I went by the chapel. I don't know how many resorts have chapels, but, but it struck me as unusual.
It's unusual. hopefully I'll inspire more to have them. Other than Vegas wedding chapels, I doubt that resort does. But I want to tell everybody who's listening, we welcome Catholic priests in good standing here to celebrate Mass, and we back it up by offering them a free room and then publishing that Mass for celebration with the patrons, the employees of our hotel. Great grace is going to come from that. I know it already has. And I get letters almost weekly from people who walk by the chapel and cannot believe it. And people say, but what about the negative? I have never once in 5 years in this resort received a negative, so I don't know what about the negative. It might be out there, but they're not talking to me about it.
No. This is the first of the annual gatherings for the Napa Institute. I assume got good response this year. You're going to continue. This is meant to be an annual event?
Annual event, yes. Last weekend of July, we had well over 155 paid attendees, and there'll be over 30 speakers in support. So there'll be almost 200 people attending the first conference.
That's great.
And we'll lose a little bit of money, but I think we can make it up next year. Our goal would be to double that or go to 300 attendees next year, paid attendees. We're enlarging our resort here, adding another 165 rooms, so we're going to have incredible amounts of facilities to do that. Plus, we're going to have the running start that we didn't have. We started this late last year marketing it, and when you start talking about an institute, it takes a while for people to figure out, what are you talking about?
Exactly.
What is it that you're trying to do?
Yeah, because you've brought together, again, you got George Weigel here, Father Spitzer. There's going to be thinking through issues like immigration, also new arguments for the existence of God and apologetics, a robust worship. So it takes a while, I think, for people to figure out how all this fits together and what's going on. But
They'll go back home and spread the word. And
yeah.
We've published the dates for 5 years in advance, so everybody can write the dates down next year, July 26th to 29th, 12th. And you bring up Father Spitzer, and sometimes I take him for granted because I'm with him every day. I hear his homilies, which are seminary classes. He's one of the greatest teachers in the world today.
Yeah.
He's one of the highest intellect people I deal with. This guy's got a photographic memory. He writes books off the top of his head without editing. I've never seen anything like it. And originally, this conference was going to be called the Spitzerian Conference because he has so much to say. And I was coaxed, including by him, no, let's not do that because we want it to be bigger than just about Father Robert Spitzer. Yeah. But he is at the crux of every single issue that we have here today. And this guy can write a book in a weekend about whatever topic.
We've got just about 60 seconds left, Tim. Why Napa?
Well, first of all, I own a winery. I love Napa. I have this resort here, and I've been dreaming about this. And Mark Brumley, the head of Ignatius Press, has been coaxing me. Let's do some more conferences. And we have many here, but let's do a big one. So this is that big one that Mark's been talking to me about. And I'm the kind of guy that I like to go out there and get it done. It isn't perfect. But sooner or later, I think we can get it right with the feedback. And the Napa Valley is like flying to Europe. but they don't have quite as far to go. And so when you open up the, I can control this resort. We have a chapel, like you say. There is no others. You open up the drawer, and there's a rosary, there's a crucifix, there's a Catholic Bible, there's a book, The Pilgrim's Journey by Jim Barrett, the owner of Chateau Montalina, who's here today. This we can control. We can take back America, but we've got to stand up one person at a time and say we're not going to take any more of this atheism. We believe in God, and we're going to stand for God.
Tim, thank you so much.
Thank you, Al.
This is exciting, and wish you continued success here.
Thank you.
Tim Bush, founder of the newly formed Napa Institute. We're here for its first annual gathering. I'm Al Caresto.
To know God is to know His Word, and you can immerse yourself in a 4-year study of the Word at the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan. The program follows a successful Denver Catholic Biblical School curriculum and is taught by carefully selected and highly qualified instructors who each have at least a master's degree in theology or pastoral studies. In addition, the program is approved by the Archbishop and can be taken for credit at Sacred Heart Major Seminary. And just for the record, this is more than an academic course, focusing on how to apply Scripture to the lives of ordinary people, not esoteric concerns of scholars. CBS of Michigan will be sharing more about this exciting opportunity through a series of information nights throughout the summer. And those who sincerely desire to know God's Word in a deeper way are encouraged to attend. For exact dates and times of the information nights, visit cbsmich.org or call 313-274-4500. That's 313-274-4500.
Our economists believe conditions are improving and that worthwhile investment opportunities could be plentiful. Now could be a great time to consider the Ave Maria Mutual Funds. These pro-life, pro-family mutual funds have a strong track record. Ask your financial advisor about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds or call toll-free 866-AVE-MARIA. That's 1-866-283-6274 or visit AveMariaFunds.com to learn more. Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
A victory for the unborn in Texas.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
After much effort on the part of pro-lifers in Texas, Governor Rick Perry has signed a sonogram bill that will protect the unborn in the Lone Star State. The new law requires doctors to fully disclose to the mother what happens in an abortion and also to give her access to a sonogram of the baby and even describe the baby's development aloud. Every life lost to abortion is a tragedy we all must work together to prevent, said Perry. Leaders in the Texas pro-life movement estimate that this bill will save 40,000 babies' lives each year.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.
Ann Arbor Smiles is a state-of-the-art dental practice led by the talents of doctors Dan Kennedy, Chris Marzoni, and Stephen Gray. One of their many satisfied patients is Debbie Herbeck, the wife of Fire on the Earth host Peter Herbeck.
For the past 25 years, our family has been going to Drs. Kennedy and Marzoni, and we've been receiving quality dental care. And one of the things we love about going there, besides all the friendly faces, is that the dentists really do know us, and they're really there to serve the needs of our family.
Go to AnnArborSmiles.com today.
Can't listen 24/7? Go to AveMariaRadio.net and subscribe to the Ave Maria Radio podcast. Listen to your favorite Ave Maria Radio program or download them to your computer or handheld device. We've been storing Ave Maria Radio programs since 2007. Then stay on our website to learn about the great organizations that support Ave Maria Radio. Now you have even more reasons to become a radioactive Catholic by going to AveMariaRadio.net.
And now a word of encouragement from Mark Shea at CatholicExchange.com.
Somehow, people read Scripture and think it says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have correct doctrine, or if you speak in tongues, or if you've mastered Greek, or if you can explain C.S. Lewis, or if you go to Mass." Now, it's perfectly true that going to Mass or knowing Catholic doctrine are important. It's even true that C.S. Lewis and a little Greek are handy to have under your belt. And some people even have the gift of tongues. But none of these are what Scripture actually says. It says, if you have love for one another, you will be known as a disciple of Jesus. If we go to Mass, learn the Catechism, read Lewis, master Greek, speak in tongues, wash dishes, clean the toilet, and crochet out of mere pride, it will sooner or later be evident to all what the motivating factor really is, whatever we say. But if we do these things in love, however minor the task, God will shine through us. I'm Mark Shea for CatholicExchange.com.
Good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta. We're broadcasting from the Napa Institute here in Napa, California. With me right now, Dr. Tim Gray, president of the Augustine Institute, where they have a dynamic new master's program in sacred scripture and evangelization and catechesis. It's in the Archdiocese of Denver. He serves as professor of sacred scripture there at St. John Vianney Theological Seminary. And it's Tim, face-to-face, great to have you here.
It's great to be with you, Al.
Well, you're speaking during this conference on immigration, and you've got an especially clever title, I thought. Forgive Us Our Trespasses, which, of course, plays off boundaries. Boundaries of geography and land, and boundaries of morality and relationship. We trespass both ways. Yeah. Talk to me about where you begin your thoughts on immigration.
Well, you know, there's such a cacophony of voices surrounding this issue of immigration, and that there's so many different sides and angles on this, but I think that the great thing about that prayer, the Our Father that I'm evoking, obviously, and Forgive Us Our Trespasses as the kind of the entryway into this discussion about immigration, is that the first half of that prayer, from people who live here in the United States and are citizens, can feel like those who have crossed the borders illegally, those who falsified documents, those who have come in a clandestine way into the country, that we don't want to just see them as somebody who is illegal, therefore should just simply be exported out of the country, which is not untypical of an American perspective right now. But as Catholics, we have to realize that children of God have no boundaries and borders. There might be borders to national citizenship, but there isn't borders and boundaries to our Catholic identity and to being children of God and being part of the human family. And the approach is, from a Catholic perspective, has to be mercy. We do ask that our Father, every time we pray the Our Father, that He forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And if we're going to ask for mercy from God, we have to give mercy to others. And so I think one of the first things we have to do is approach this position from a position of mercy, to really approach it as Catholics, and not just simply a matter of justice, because justice without mercy can be very uncompassionate and very unchristian.
Yeah. People have often said that justice is the primary principle that governs states.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, anyways, in Catholic social teaching, love has been made central. And I think that can be traced right back to St. Augustine, actually.
You're right.
Love is normative. Justice is not.
Yes. As Christians, we're bound by norms greater than the norms that govern the passing political laws and norms of our nation. But I think one of the things that's important that I like to do in my talk is to take us back to the story of Israel and the scriptures. And what Israel recognizes is that we all are descended of Adam and Eve. So there's a common human family that's made in the Imago Dei, which means that there's a dignity that belongs to every human being. If you contrast Israel's development in terms of the treatment of the stranger or the sojourner or the resident alien, so to speak, versus the Greco-Roman development, for the Greeks, there's one set of justice for those who are citizens of the polis, citizens of the city. But there's a whole other for those who are non-citizens, considered the barbarians by the mm-hmm. Greeks. And justice is what I owe to those who are fellow citizens, not to fellow human beings. And that really prescribes Greek law, and then the Romans adopt that, such that when you look at a Roman thinker like Cicero, for example, in his work on offices. He talks about what is due in justice, and he first says we owe the greatest justice to God, then we owe the greatest justice to our country, and then to our family, and then finally to our fellow citizens. But Cicero doesn't see that we owe anything to the stranger, the sojourner, the foreigner who lives in our midst, because they're non-citizens, and therefore they have a certain, in the eyes of Roman and Greek law, non-rights. And what I think we have to distinguish is the Greco-Roman tradition of rights and privileges and duties towards fellow citizens, which stops with borders and boundaries of citizenship, whereas the Israelite conception, which is so unique, is that everyone is under God, and everyone is our kin, so to speak, and we owe a justice and a compassion to all the human family. And that really sets Israel apart from all the other nations in the development of the understanding and conception of justice and mercy, therefore. So, for example, Moses, in the Book of the Covenant, in Exodus 22, verse 21, he says that you shall treat the stranger and sojourner with compassion and love, for you were strangers and sojourners in the land of Egypt. And so Israel's experience of being strangers and sojourners in Egypt marks their very identity, but it also marks how they are to understand justice as something universal in scope rather than circumscribed to citizenship and national boundaries.
As they remember their past as slaves in Egypt, so they should reflect the kind of judiciousness and graciousness that God showed them in leading them out of Egypt.
That's exactly right. And if you look at the book of Deuteronomy and the Torah of Israel, it's marked throughout with all these comments, whether it's in Deuteronomy 10 or Deuteronomy 23, about justice and mercy for the stranger and sojourner among you. Because I was compassionate to the stranger and sojourner. You should be, when you were in Egypt, that is Israel, you should be compassionate, therefore, to those who are strangers and sojourners among you. So in a sense, Israel is marked by its identity as illegal aliens in Egypt, who then work as an underclassed working class to the Egyptians. And that exploitation of their labor and of their identity is something that not just mars Israel in that experience, but marks them to be compassionate likewise to others. And if we're going to be that continuous people of God, we have to go back, as you mentioned, to our memory, our memory as the people of God, and realize that, as Jesus says, treat others as you would want them to treat you. And that's a commentary on Israel's story. In a sense, Israel's story was they were mistreated as strangers and sojourners, as resident aliens, so we don't want to therefore mistreat those who are strangers and sojourners among us.
This marks the experience of the covenant people of God. And in the New Testament, there's a spirituality of hospitality, which seems, in my mind, parallel to this. Having said that, though, we do understand that the divine institution of the church as a counter-society, so to speak, is other than the state.
Right.
And so how do you work from the experience of the people of God to the people of America?
Yeah, that's a key distinction that you make, Alan. I think one of the things that happens is one of the greatest challenges of American Catholics is to see themselves as Americans far more than they see themselves as Catholics, as if Catholic is something accidental, as if it's an adjective and American is the noun. And what we have to do is we have to reverse that. As Catholics, we have to see our identity first and foremost as children of God and faithful disciples of Jesus. And then we speak into the secular society and the nation in terms of its public policy towards immigration and immigrants. But what's most important to me is that not the church lobbying Congress for particular public policy rules, even though that's an important thing and a valuable thing, the first thing for the church is to be the church. And to be the church, we have to will to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And that means that we're not going to change society by simply passing laws and lobbying. We're going to change society by embodying the life of Jesus in our own lives. And so it's crucial for Catholics to embody the kind of hospitality that Christ speaks to when he says, when I was a stranger, you welcomed me. And the word that Jesus uses there in Matthew 25 is the word for a stranger, foreigner, alien. Yeah. And then the righteous say, when do we see you as a stranger and welcome you? And he says, whenever you did this to the least of my brethren, you did it unto me. And when the wicked, who are the goats, who are cast out, they say, when did we see you as a stranger and not welcome you? And Jesus says, when you did it not to the least of these. So really, I think the first thing for the church is to be the church, and that is to embody the mercy and love of Christ by showing hospitality in our own individual lives and then in our parishes.
Yeah.
That's important and imperative.
Well, the church is not called upon to be an extension of the Office of Homeland Security or border control. There are different roles here.
Expect
the church to do law enforcement.
Yeah, example is Jesus calls us to be salt and light, and that's a particular role and a particular vocation. So the early Christians don't petition Rome to take care of widows. The early Christians take collections amongst themselves to show hospitality to the widow and to the orphan in the early church. And so it's important for us. One of the temptations is to politicize everything and to see the state as the solution to all the society's problems.
Right.
And that is a great temptation, and it's one we have to avoid as Christians. We have to shoulder, as Christians, the responsibility of taking care of the poor and the needy and the orphan and the immigrant. And if we don't do that, we're failing in our vocation, and we can't simply go to the state and say, hey, state, United States, it's your job to take care of the poor and needy. Our country is almost bankrupt.
Yeah.
The state can't afford to take care of the immigrants and the needs that are out there right now. We as the church and as individuals need to do that.
Yeah. So I think this goes to something that's very important to many of our listeners, and that is the question of Catholic identity. Normally when we're talking about Catholic identity, we're talking about Catholic colleges and universities conforming to Ex Corde Ecclesiae, or we're talking about particular parishes making sure that the rubrics of the Mass are done well. But when we're talking about Catholic identity, most fundamentally it means knowing who we are in Christ, which means knowing who we are in His body, this mystical union of the Church, that's our primary society.
Yeah, I can't agree with you more. I mean, the first thing we have to do to think about immigration and these issues that face the Church today is the location from which we do that thinking. That location has to be the Church, as members of the body of Christ, and not simply as Americans that then look at things in political terms, in terms of power, but in terms of persons.
So our catechesis should come from the Church, and not necessarily from conservative political talk radio.
I absolutely agree. And here's the
most of us have many fond friends.
Right. Absolutely.
Conservative political.
And here's the great challenge for us.
Because they don't do catechesis. They shouldn't be doing catechesis for us.
And most Americans think about immigration in terms of being qua American and in terms of the political issues and problems that face the Church, rather than as what does the gospel teach me and shape me in my imagination and thinking as a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Tim, thank you so much. This is going to be a great week here at Napa Institute.
It's a joy to be here in Napa.
We'll talk again.
Thanks.
Okay. I'm Al Cresta, and we're having a great week here at Napa Institute in Napa, California. We're going to be talking all throughout the week with many of the speakers here. I'm Al Cresta.
Hi, this is Jason Everett. Middle school is a challenging time in a young person's life. Kids are asking tough questions like, who am I? What is love? How do I deal with bullying, gossip, peer pressure? And what does it really mean to be Catholic? After years of development, Ascension Press has released a new middle school edition of the Theology of the Body for Teens program. Designed for children in 6th through 8th grades, this new Chastity program helps kids answer those questions and much more. Information about this program can be found online at tobforteens.com. God bless you.
Based on exclusive personal interviews with Alexander Solzhenitsyn, Joseph Pierce's biography of the renowned Russian dissident provides insight into a towering literary and political figure. From communism to imprisonment to exile, Solzhenitsyn struggled with the weightiest questions of human existence and critiqued the materialism of both communism and post-Christian capitalism. Illustrated with rare black and white photos, Solzhenitsyn by Joseph Pierce is available at Catholic bookstores, at Ignatius Press, or by calling 800-651-1531.
Begin your educational journey of faith in a very convenient way by taking Introduction to Theology online. This fall, Sacred Heart Major Seminary offers this comprehensive course from the convenience of your home computer or from your laptop at your favorite Wi-Fi hotspot. You will learn the sources of theology, major Catholic doctrines, and methods of seeking God's truth. But this is no passive correspondence course. Our easy-to-use web application encourages dynamic interaction among fellow students and a member of Sacred Heart's world-class faculty.
Through regular postings moderated by the professor, you'll spend the entire course engaged in active learning. Apply online too at shms.edu for an easy admissions process. Or call 313-883-8520 and speak with an admissions counsellor. But hurry, the application deadline for new students is August 15th. Classes start September 6th. Learn more at shms.edu.
Thank you so much for being with us as we've had the chance to talk about equipping the saints to do the work of ministry, advancing in the field of apologetics and Catholic social teaching, trying to be faithful citizens of the kingdom as we're faithful citizens of this great nation. We're going to be here over the weekend talking with many of the guests and speakers. George Weigel will be joining us. Father Robert Spitzer will be with us. Father Fessio, all joining us. And this will be going on over the whole weekend, and we'll be sharing those interviews with you next week. You can follow up, though, on any of our conversations today by going to AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Go to the Crest of Guest Archives there. It's easy to find. You'll be able to look for our guest name or the topics we discussed. You'll find the websites, you'll find books they may have written, articles that we used in preparation for the interviews. So do join us over there. We'd also love to have you join us with commentary and comments on our blog, CrestaInTheAfternoon.com. That's Cresta with a K, CrestaInTheAfternoon.com. So join us over there, and don't forget us on Facebook as well. Like us there, and we'll look forward to keeping you informed day to day what's going on here on the broadcast. Thanks so much, and keep us in your prayers over the weekend, and we'll be back next week sharing some of the great interviews and discussions we've had here at the Napa Institute. I'm Al Cresta.
Cresta in the Afternoon is produced and distributed by Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan. The executive producer is Nick Tom. The technical engineer is Kara Coulter. To follow up on any of the guests or information presented on today's program, visit the Cresta Guest Archive at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. To listen to this or any other edition of Cresta in the Afternoon, visit the audio archives at AveMariaRadio.net. Or to order a CD of the program, call 734-930-4506 or email orders at AveMariaRadio.net. That's 734-930-4506 or orders at AveMariaRadio.net.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Sienna, the Catholic mobile phone company, is more than just a cell phone service. Sienna is pro-life and pro-family. And contrary to other phone companies, we actively work for a culture of life in America. With Sienna, 5% of your voice plan goes to your favorite Catholic or pro-life charity, to date over $1 million. Sienna uses the same nationwide digital network as the big guys, without contracts or termination fees. Flexible calling plans allow you to support a pro-life company and the culture of life with every call you make on your mobile phone. There's a wide selection of phones and calling plans with text messaging available as well. Also, you pay no fees to change your plan, and you get unlimited mobile-to-mobile calling with other Sienna customers on most plans. With Sienna, you can use your voice for the voiceless. Don't waste your cell phone service. Learn more at 877-4-SIENNA or on the web at prolifecatholic.com.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria Radio.
Cresta in the Afternoon is brought to you in part by the St. Gregory Retreat Center, a fully licensed and internationally accredited alternative to traditional drug and alcohol treatment.
This model has utilized the latest techniques based on the most current scientific research. More information about the St. Gregory Retreat Center is available at 888-